This is talking about the throne room of heaven. These two chapters, for me personally, are two of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I have discovered them in the last year or two, and the meaning, there are so many lessons in this. It is actually quite amazing to me. We are going to discuss just one part, one lesson today. And we will begin with verse number 1. It says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald." And he goes on and on to give in great detail a scene in heaven, the throne room of heaven, with God sitting on the throne and all of the activity all around him. There's 24 elders, there's these four living creatures, there's sea of glass. Oh, it's just a beautiful picture. Well worth your time of just meditating on this and what it can mean. We can't possibly get the full picture of this because it is just it is a scene in heaven. But it is still nonetheless a well worthy exercise of just meditating and seeing what God reveals to our heart about this. Chapter 4 and chapter 5, the same thing. But that's in general. What's going on here is that applies to our lives that we could glean from this is John wrote this, and he was on a prison island called Patmos, and he is there, and he receives this revelation from God. And it just strikes me that many of us are in need of revelation from God as well. You might not call it revelation from God, but we might be in need of God's wisdom for an answer. We might be in need of God's understanding for what we should do for a certain situation in our life. Which decision should I make? Which way should I go? What should I do in this case? We have unspoken requests all the time in this church. Many of them, I'm sure, are to deal with wisdom, that God would help us to understand what way we're to go. It's natural. It's normal. We should have that request. We should want God's plan for our life. We should be asking for God's wisdom in a certain situation. And something that happens here is so interesting to me, because John is about to receive this incredible revelation of what's going on in heaven, of God's throne room. He's about to receive revelation of what is to come. It even says that, "I will show you things which must take place after this." Isn't this what we're calling out for? Isn't this what we need God's wisdom for? We need to know what's going to come in the future. We might not expect God to tell us the future, but we do very often want God's direction so that we know which way to go in our future. What decision we should make in our future. Should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I invest this money? Should I put my money here? Should I buy that car? Should I not buy that car? All different things. We're looking for God to tell us how we should decide things in our future. And he tells John right here, he will say, "I'll show you things that are going to take place. I'll let you know about the future." And firstly, he says to him, "Why don't you come up here? Why don't you come up here? Get out of your earthly mind and come on up here." And that, I think, is such a big key to our understanding God's will for our life, is getting our mind out of our normal mode of thinking, our natural, our earthly way of thinking, and just coming on up to where God is, seeing things from His perspective rather than seeing things from our perspective. He tells him, "Come on up here, and I'm going to show you things that are going to take place. I will let you know what's going to happen. I will let you know things that you need to know. And that's exactly what we often are crying out for. Many of our prayers are, God, help me to know what I should do. Help me. Give me an idea of what I should do, where I should go, how I should fix this problem, how I should deal with that situation, how I should deal with this relationship that I have, how I should deal with my boss, how I should deal with this family member. Help me, God. I need understanding. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. And he gives us this key, and he says, he tells John, why don't you come up here? Why don't you come up here, and I'll tell you, and I'll show you the things that you need to know. And verse number two says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Immediately I was in the Spirit. And that tells me that with an earthly mind, we often will miss the things of God. And so he says, come up to this place. Give me a chance to show you the things that are going to take place. Let me talk to you and commune with you in your spirit. And this is often what we need to do. We need to just settle down. We need to not just jump into our plan. You know, isn't it often the case that plans and situations come to us and we immediately go to what we think we should do? Immediately, often without thinking. We're smart people. We have a lot of experience. We've heard a lot of things. We've seen a lot of things. And situations present themselves. And immediately we go to, this is what I need to do. I need to do A, B, and C. I need to make this call. I need to call that guy. I need to shift this. I need to do that. And this is how it will be done. And that is often that's often okay. Often that's okay. But do we give God the chance to say, this is the way he thinks things should be done? Do we give God the chance to say, this is the way he thinks it should be done? Because if he thinks it should be done away, it's the right way. It's the right way. And I think it's very often a hindrance to us because we have so much experience and so much knowledge and so much logic on our side that we could very often go on automatic pilot, so to speak, and just go throughout our day and go throughout our situation and go and handle our problems in our own self. Without ever needing God. And sometimes we have it the opposite way too. Sometimes we decide this is the way we're going to go, and then we pray, God, will you bless it? God, will you bless the plans that I've just set into motion? God, will you just give me favor in these situations? This is my plan, but God, will you bless it? It really should be the other way around. We should ask God, what is his plan? And then for sure, he will bless his plan. This is another way of saying a principle that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We don't have a video person, so if you want to follow along, it's 1 Corinthians 2 in chapter 2 in verse number 14. It's another way of saying the same thing in a different part of the Bible. The principle is stated very clearly here. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, Paul says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." I'll read that again. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. So that means in our mind, in our logic, if God wants to talk to us, if God wants to communicate with us, and we do believe in a God that wants to have a relationship with us, that means somehow in his way, it's not usually an audible voice, it almost never is an audible voice, but he has ways of communicating to us. He has ways of getting through to us and getting us little messages here and there. Very often it's a prompting in us or something that we sense in our spirits, and we know this is the right thing to do, this is the wrong thing to do. And there's many other ways. This is not about how to hear from God. But we know that there are many ways. Hopefully you've all had some experience in that area where God has prompted you to do something, and then all of a sudden it works out just so perfectly. And you think, wow, that was a God thing. In the end, you look back and you say, yeah, that was God telling me that I should go this way. The Bible even tells us that he'll speak to us in our ear and tell us to turn to the right or turn to the left. And that's what we want, that's what we expect, because the Bible tells us that's what he does. And here, this verse tells us the natural man, in our own thinking, we can't receive the things of God. They have to be discerned spiritually. They have to be understood spiritually. So we are so ingrained with our natural thinking. We are so ingrained with the way we understand things. We are so ingrained with all of our knowledge, and we just look up everything on the internet. Oh, what is it today? What is that? What is that problem? Oh, let me see. Let me just run to the internet and find out something. And there's certainly a place for that. I do it all the time. I use Google probably 100 times a day. But there is a way, there is a time when we need to just slow down. There is a time when we need to just stop what we're doing and see what God wants us to do. Give God a chance to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to be involved in our lives and direct our lives. Don't do this. This is a bad decision. This is a good decision. Go forward. And he will do that. Very often people speak of, well, he gives me a peaceful feeling. He takes away the nervousness about making a decision. And God could come in a whole large amount of ways and speak to you in so many different ways. But we have to be listening for him and not just engaging our natural mind. Because the Bible tells us if we just engage our natural mind, we will not be able to hear the things of the Spirit of God. It says they are spiritually discerned. In fact, sometimes they are just outright foolishness, the things of God. And that just bears a witness throughout the whole Bible. We look throughout the whole Bible and we see that so many of God's plans seem to be contrary to what we believe. And you could look throughout the lessons of the Bible, and then you could look throughout the situations of the Bible, and you could say, well, that doesn't make any sense based on what we know. The Bible tells us that the way to go up is to humble ourselves. Well, the world tells us the exact opposite. Don't humble yourself. You'll never get anywhere. Don't be meek, but yet the Bible says be meek. And the world says the meek are just going to get crushed. But yet the Bible says, yeah, be meek. And the world tells us something very opposite. And this is the difference between natural thinking and spiritual thinking, because God's ways will be blessed by God. Man's ways, we have to maintain, and we have to keep up. All of the activities that we set in motion, we have to maintain them. But if God begins something, God will maintain it. And it's much easier to let God maintain things than it is to do it ourselves. God's ways, very often, they just aren't part of our natural thinking. The Bible says we should love our enemies. Well, that makes no sense. They're enemies for a reason, because they're nasty to me, because they don't like me. I don't want to love though. I don't want to love them, but the Bible says love your enemies. That's not natural thinking. In fact, that is exactly what he's talking about. He said that's foolishness. The natural mind looks at the things of God and said that's foolishness. Why should I love my enemies? Why should I forgive? They don't deserve it. And all of that is our natural thinking coming out. And the Bible tells us very clearly. The Bible tells us very clearly, you have natural thinking, you're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. You need to discern them spiritually. And what John is showing us here is that God told him, you can't receive what I need to give you if you're down in your perspective. If you're down in the earthly perspective, you're gonna miss this revelation. And God was about to download into him something huge. something big. And he would have missed it if he just stayed where he was. If he didn't come up to that place where he immediately was in the Spirit, he would have missed it. He would not have seen what God wanted him to see. We need to give God a chance to speak to us. We need to give God a chance to tell us what was on his mind, how he would handle the situation. We need to set time. And it might not be a long time. Maybe it's just a break in your day. Maybe it's just a whispered up prayer. Maybe it's just a moment where you say, God, what should I do about this situation? You don't always have time. You don't always have time to go away and pray and fast for a week. Decisions have to be made. But God's always present. You talk to him throughout your day. What should I do about this? Include him in your day. Be in the Spirit, even if you're in the natural while you're doing your job. We have to be people of the natural mind, but we don't have to decide things and be and act upon our natural mind. The Bible says in another way. It says, "Lean not on your own understanding." That's Proverbs 3. You probably memorized that when you were a little kid. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And then he'll direct your path. That's another way of saying the exact same thing. Come on up here, John. I'm going to show you something. Don't lean on your own understanding. You got to get out of your own understanding. You got to get out of that place where you think that you have it all figured out, or you will do it in your own strength. The Bible tells us, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own plan. Don't lean on your own plan without consulting the one who knows the future. Don't lean on what you think you should do. God knows the future. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Talk to him. He says, come on up here and I'll show you what needs to be done. There is a place in the Spirit where God operates, and we are a people that believes in God's miracle-working power. We believe what the Bible says, and we believe and we expect miracles in our lives. If you haven't experienced God's miracle power, just talk to almost anyone that's been part of this church, and you will hear of God's miracle working power. Not just something explainable, but almost everyone throughout this place has testimonies of God's unexplainable by man workings in their lives. Big things. Big things. Healings throughout the place. It doesn't happen in every case. It doesn't happen in every case. But it has happened so often that people know, this is my God and he has done this for me. He has worked a miracle. He has suspended the natural laws of man. There are natural laws of man. And very often you could think of a miracle as God suspending those natural laws, suspending all the things that are probable. Well, the doctor might say, well, it's probable that this is going to happen. This is, and God just says, not in my plan. I'm going to do something different. And he suspends those laws and all of a sudden things are changed. And it might happen in the timing of a situation. It might be almost impossible for something to happen, and then God makes it happen. He does things. He works things behind the scenes, and then all of a sudden, what looked impossible is possible, because the Bible tells us that God delights in doing the impossible. And so we believe in that. We trust in him for that. We depend on him very often. We put our lives in his hands for those very reasons. I know many of you have made decisions which the world would say, well, that makes absolutely no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. But yet, you follow it through and you go where you believe God is leading, because you've given him the chance to talk to you, and you've tried to, as best as you can, to come up to the place where you can hear his voice rather than all the clamor of the world, rather than all the voices of the world which are telling you, no, don't do this, this makes no sense. And in the end, you see the wisdom of God, and it shines through in your life, and you know that it is him and it is not you. One of the good things about that is you could take no credit for it, because you see, I had nothing to do with this. I just followed along. I just followed what God was doing, and look at the wonderful thing that He has produced. Very often, it happens just that way. And the Bible is filled with these kinds of stories. If you think about it, where God just suspends the natural laws and just does His own thing. You might not have thought about it in that way, but that's essentially what happened. Moses is at the Red Sea. There's a million people, or so they say. There might have been a million people in this Exodus, or maybe even more than a million people. And they're backed up, and the most powerful army in the world is there right on their tails, and they have chariots. And these are people that were slaves just one day earlier, and now here they are facing the most powerful army in the world. And in the natural, it looks pretty bad. And most of the people think, it looks pretty bad. And God says, no, don't worry, I have a plan. And He splits the Red Sea open, and that plan makes no sense to anybody there but maybe Moses. Moses is like, don't worry, stand still, watch what God's going to do. And everybody else is like, yeah, He needs to do something. And God does it. The natural laws of this earth are suspended, and the water stands on edge. That just is not right. That just does not follow any science book that you will ever see. But yet God did it. And this is just one example. You could go throughout the Bible, and it happens over and over and over. God is just suspending the things that don't make sense to us. But yet He does them. He does them over and over. He tells Abraham, hey, leave the land. Leave the land where you're at. You know, just go out and follow me. And more than likely, Abraham was leaving his inheritance. He was leaving the place where his father was. He was leaving the place where he had a future. And God says, yeah, you got to get out. But God, don't you realize? I have this coming. I have this. This is set up for me. It's looking pretty good. And He says, no, you got to go. And I'll bless you from there. And if Abraham would have looked with just a natural eye, he would have said, no, it's better for me to stay. Or if he would have just never even paid attention. Like many of us might go throughout our day and never even pay attention. Never pay attention. What does God want me to do? I don't know. I'm too busy doing my thing. And we might miss what God has for us. Because we're so ingrained in our natural thinking. Now, before you go away and say, well, what's He saying? Is He saying we should have no intelligence? We should have no understanding of anything? No, absolutely not. Because the Bible tells us, in Proverbs, over and over, it says, with all you're getting, get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. The Bible tells us we should not be lax, and we should not be a people who just shuns knowledge. The Bible tells us that. We should be gaining knowledge, gaining understanding. The Bible says it's good to have wisdom. It's good to have understanding. Get it. With all you're getting, get understanding. That's what the Bible tells us in Proverbs. Multiple times. Just get understanding. But it's when that understanding usurps the voice of God that it's a problem. And when that understanding usurps the voice of God, when all of our wisdom and all of our understanding that we have gotten through God's power, and He gives us the power to understand things, when all of that understanding takes us away from the ability to hear God because we develop our own plans, that's when it's an issue. But very often, there's no guarantee that God will give you any inclination of anything. And in those cases, very often, it is the right path to follow the natural progression of what God tells us, or what we think we should do. But we need to give God a chance. We need to give God a chance to speak what His plan is. We need to give God a chance to communicate with us. And very often, there will be nothing that we hear. Very often, Very often there will be silence. And in those cases, follow the plan that God brings to your mind, whatever it is. Maybe at that point it is just your natural wisdom. And very often that's all we have. But if we never allow God to break through to our life, if we never listen to the message to come up here to the Spirit and I'll tell you what to do, we won't ever hear those cases. This is not a call to just forget all wisdom, forget all knowledge, do crazy things, because there are people that do that. There are people that do that in the name of God. They just do anything that seems outlandish. And they make decisions. And I remember once a long time ago having a conversation with a person that said, you know, God told me to do this. And you might hear that in Christian circles very often. And they're well-meaning people. God told me to do this. And then a couple months later when it's a disaster, well, God's telling me not to do that anymore. Well, yeah. Yeah, because it probably wasn't God in the first place. So it doesn't mean this is not a call to just abandon all sense. But the Bible is telling us there are times when God wants to speak to us. Let Him speak to us. He's a personal Savior. We often talk of having a personal relationship. This is part of a personal relationship where God can speak to you personally. He wants to speak to you as concerning your issues as opposed to me and my issues. He has the intention to speak to you personally about your issues, because He is a personal Savior. And one more thing, we're almost done. We're almost done. One more thing that is so striking is that in the first verse where he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. A door was open in heaven. The door was open for John. God had made the way for John to receive this knowledge. But if John stood where he was, if John said, "Well, I'm good where I'm at," he would have not entered into that door, and that door was open. And it just makes me wonder how many doors have been open for me and for you, and we miss them because we were so focused on our plan. We were so focused on what we want to do. We were so focused on, we already know what to do. We already know how to do this. We already have a plan. We already have seen how this works. We have gone through this a dozen times and we know what's coming next. And we have our plan. The door might be open in heaven for God to do it a different way, for God to show us something different. There might be a door open in heaven and we might miss it. Because we're so focused on our natural mind. We're so focused on our natural plan. We're so focused on the way we want to do things. We might miss it altogether. We might miss it altogether. It makes me wonder, how many miracles have I missed because I want to do things my way? How many miracles have I missed because I want to do things? How much pain have I had to endure because I want to do things my way? I even look at the situation with my job. I've been in a job for 17 years that's been horrible. It's been horrible. And how, I wonder, has God been telling me to leave that job for years, and I'm just so focused on this is what I got to do. I'm too nervous about jumping. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. This is my plan. I'm going to just keep going forward. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But eventually when God says you move, sometimes He makes there no choice but to move. Sometimes He makes there no choice. You gotta go. Can't stay. But we don't want to be people that gives God only one choice. You gotta just slam all the doors and then I'll know it's you. We want people. We want to be people that looks for God and says, "Yeah, He'll speak to me. He'll talk to me." I'm not just exactly sure how that's going to look. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm not sure exactly what form that's going to come in. But I believe He could come and He could talk to me. I believe there's a door standing open in heaven, and I believe He wants to communicate with me about my issues, about my problems, about my situation. And if we do that, our walk with God will become an exciting walk. As we stop looking towards the natural, start looking towards the spiritual. Don't know where things are going to come from. Even as Len said today, hey, just give it to God. You're not sure where it's going to come from. Not sure how it's going to happen. Who knows? How could the money be there if the biggest customer or the biggest client is gone, but yet God does it? That's what He does. We come up where He is, and we allow Him to open the door to us, so that we could follow Him and hear His voice, and that the world may know they are a set apart people. His name be praised.